Hi, and welcome to Detox, Talks the Detox, a podcast where we talk to some of the world's finest leaders about their detox rituals and how they maintain continuity in a world of noise and chaos. How they make sure that the criticism that the world puts on them doesn't affect their insight and they still continue to perform as well as they do. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kunal Sundaramani, and you are listening to Detox, Talks the Detox.
We have Brendan on the podcast. Brendan is a dear friend, one of the most incredible business people I know. Co-founded WAG, raised over $300 million in venture capital, but all of that's on a business end. He's also one of the most incredible humans I've come across and just a really good person. Thank you so much for taking your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, Brendan, you've had one hell of a journey, and just saying that is an understatement.
Yeah, it's my journey. It's been a hell of a ride, let's just say that. From the time I left for California.
I think of life as a straight path, but the straight path's now what's exciting. It's the turns. So what are like the five turns that got you where you are?
Honestly, I think like a lot of it was taking, like being able to take risk and like really go with my gut and enjoying the journey and being like as present as possible. So I don't know if there's like five specific things, but like just being able to just not be held back by, you know, my limiting beliefs and just taking risk.
Well, what was some of those limiting beliefs for you?
Well, I feel like when you go on your entrepreneurial journey, like you know, you have all these thoughts where it's like, I need to make money. How am I gonna be able to grow this business or myself? And like, you have all these things that come into your mind and all these things that tell you like, maybe you shouldn't do it. It's not a good idea. And then you have people in your family members, your friends that may like, you know, kind of steer you off in the wrong direction. So you have all this like noise in your head and, you know, that creates, you know, for me, it was creating some limiting beliefs, but, you know, really trying to just kind of block all that out and really going with my intuition and my gut.
Talk about those limiting beliefs. I think it's funny because I think each one of us has so many of them, especially the ones we do not know are there, but they're like shouting at us from the back of our mind and we don't even know they exist.
Yeah, I think like, so when I moved to Palo Alto and like, as you know, that's where Stanford is and there's like, you know, the epicenter of tech in the world and there's a lot of amazing, bright individuals that go there. And for me, you know, I struggled growing up with school and with college. And it was like, you know, I felt like I wasn't like comfortable in my skin being around such successful, very intelligent individuals. So like, that was a limiting belief that like, I wasn't meant to be at the table, at least initially. And that for sure, those thoughts have crept in my mind when I first got to California.
That is so deep. Like talking about those moments, like when you had those self-doubts, what was your self-doubt getting out of them?
That's a really good question. So, you know, I was an athlete growing up. I played sports my whole life. I was a college soccer player. I've done multiple ultra marathons. I love fitness and exercise and that endorphin release. And I think that I treated startups and I've treated my journey with work and also my personal life. I've correlated it very closely to sports. And what allowed me to succeed in sports was really just having the kind of that hustle grind. You know, you put in the work and you can see the results. And when I had those limiting beliefs from a business perspective, I resorted back to how I was as an athlete. I think that helped me, got me through at least the initial stages of my startup career. Whereas if I show up every day and consistently work hard, but also smart, and I build my network and I'm a good person and I have positive energy and I try to help people, you know, trusting that intuition in my gut, things will work out. It usually does.
The intuitive part of it is just so hard to trust, especially as a startup founder. Like what was your journey with figuring out trusting intuition versus trusting numbers?
Yeah, I think also it's like who you surround yourself with too. So like the people I was around were like just like me, like they were just really motivated. Nothing was going to like stop them. And that really helped me consistently have that mindset. So when there was times where I didn't feel like, you know, really getting after it that day, like I would see other people around me that would lift me up and stuff. And that, I think that really helped, was having folks around me that like were on that same energy and that had that same kind of mindset and passion. That's what really kind of allowed me to kind of get through those days.
Talking more about startups, like, I think it's so hard to describe building a startup to someone who hasn't built a startup just because it's such an all-consuming journey. Like, what, like, when you're building a startup, there's so many things that are happening that you haven't, like, couldn't have planned for just because you didn't know enough. And when you're in the moment and things are going wrong, what's your go-to detox?
I think, like, if you look at your life as a startup, I think there's a lot of correlations. Because, like, you're the CEO of your life. You're the director of your life. You get to write the script. And, you know, while I was building my first company and then the second company, WAG, like, you know, we've chatted about this kind of offline, was like, I think fitness was something that allowed me to really just kind of recalibrate and get to a place where I could get a win. So like, for me, getting a win allows me to like get set up for the day, or at least gives me the confidence. So for me, fitness, you know, and I used it, I think, like, during my journey with WAG, it was around like running, where it was like, you know, I would go run, you know, 4 or 5 miles, and I feel really good. Like, wow, I that was a lot of mileage for me. Plus, my endorphins were releasing. Obviously, mentally, it was really stimulating. So that was my outlet, was running. And then I would like also like, you know, sign up for these ultra marathons and running events and like and regular marathons. And like, I had something to look forward to. So I also was able to like kind of go in, like, as things got really hard for me at the startup, I'd be like, okay, well, you know what? Like, now let's go exercise, get that anxiety out, get that energy out. And then you also, you know, have something to look forward to. And for me, it was like in the startup world, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, and it's a roller coaster. And sometimes you're in a really, like, you're consistently in a low, and you need that win. And that, for me, oddly enough, that's kind of why I signed up for these like running races, was because I knew when I crossed the finish line, it was like a huge confidence boost for me. It was like, all right, I'm back.
Going into your mind for a second, today you get a call, something went down that wasn't supposed to get down. There's a new fire. What's your self-talk, firefighting?
So for me now, I think obviously my brain has matured over the years, at least the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, but really over the last year and a half, I think my mind has really changed and matured for the better. Right now, it's more so like, if that was to happen, if there was a fire, first of all, I would try to calm my anxiety down, and either with meditation, which I recently got into, I'm not an expert at that at all, but I do 5 to 10 minutes per day. So I'd calm my breathing, but then I would also tell myself that like, it's always worked out for you leading up to this moment. It's going to work out again. People think like, oh, the world's going to end. This is the worst thing in like my life, blah, 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 blah. But like at the end of the day, like if you like just trust the process and you just let things just naturally unfold and you know that it's going to work out, usually it does. My mind was not like that while I was building the majority of the years of building these startups. I had to like get to that point. So really it's self-talk around like calming my nervous system down, deep breathing, and then just tackling the problem strategically. And I think that knowing that it's gonna work out, and there could be a lot worse things in the world that could happen. And also knowing, lastly, like you're not the only one that's probably experienced that. Which is interesting, because there's times where I'm like, I feel like I'm the only one on planet Earth that's going through this, but that's probably not the case.
I love this line, although I don't think Howard Marks ever meant it to be a quote, but it's something I come to admire, is how he spoke about some of his unconventional investments when everyone was sure the world was going to end with the finances, with banks going down. And he was like, I'm going to play as if the world will not end. Because if the world ends, no one's going to blame me.
I love that. That's really cool. Yeah, no, that makes super interesting and makes a lot of sense.
It's crazy how we just think that the world's going to end and everyone's going to be blaming us for it. And we're playing pessimistic when we should probably just play optimistic.
Exactly. I also think like over time, as you develop more battle scars and you have more experience in life, you get accustomed to like, you also have to enjoy the process. Like, and that's something that I struggled with. I think patience is a superpower. And having patience is very hard, especially in, but for me, I've had to, like, not willingly be patient for a lot of things in my life. And if you just, like, enjoy the process, even the the crappy moments, like, you just, and that's really, it's way easier said than done. But, like, you know, if someone were to just give everything you wanted on a silver platter, that would be so boring.
Yeah, deeply agreed. So talking about your battle scars, what's your favorite one?
I would say the biggest battle scar was from my first company to my second company. So the first company was in the dating space, and then the second company was in the pet space. And the first company, like, it was a great experience. I learned a lot, a lot of ups and downs, but it was ultimately not, you know, the outcome that, you know, I wanted. And it felt like I was back at square one. And so I got shot up into this, like, you know, I'm building this great company. You know, it's venture funded, you know, users, like, you know, monetizing users and whatnot. And it ultimately didn't turn out the way that, you know, my co-founders and I wanted to, but that, knowing that, like, I had to start all over again, I think that was, like, a moment in time where I questioned myself, where I was like, wow, like a job would be really cool right now. I was getting into an age where, like, my friends back home are, like, you know, they had jobs, they started having families and getting married, and, like, I was, like, not on that path. But I also was like, well, having a steady income and stuff like that would be really nice. So I think that experience to, like, be in that unknown, but also going with my intuition, that calloused me to be like, look, this, like, you could go to zero right now, but zero is not the bottom for you. You just need to you can just do it again.
I love that. Like, zero is not the bottom.
No, it's never the bottom. I got into this whole ultra running thing, and I don't do it anymore. I may get back into it to some degree, but I did a 50-mile race in San Francisco in, like, the Marine Headlands, and I was at, like, mile 47 or 48, and my body was, like, my knees, my hips, like, cold. I didn't change my socks. They were all wet for 14 hours. Like, it was horrible. But what's interesting is that, like, the body, like, didn't stop because the mind kept going. And the mind is so powerful. So at the end of the day, if you think you're at zero, you can still go one more mile. You can still do one more rep. And I truly believe that.
I think it's also that last rep that really builds the muscle.
Exactly.
If you stop when you're supposed to stop, did you get anywhere?
Right. And you build those calluses over time. So then your brain and your mind get more sharp. You learn from experiences. And if you're mindful and if you remember those experiences, then you can go back to those experiences and not make those same mistakes.
Talking about, like, when you move from your first company to your second company, I think it's easy to move from one success to one success, or even from one failure to success to failure. But I think what we forget often is not the moments, but in the midst, when there was a lot going on and there isn't as much going on right now. And then just the mind that's shouting at you to do more, mm-hmm. but there's not as much happening. How would you deal with that?
I think it's, like, sometimes it's good to take a break. I think, like, this whole hustle culture, this founder culture in startups is, like, you know, you have to work 24/7, 365. And I, don't get me wrong, I did that, but do I think that's correct? I don't think it is. I think that your body tells you when it needs to rest, and I think your mind tells you when it's time to focus on other things and change. And I think if you're in tune with your body and if you're in tune with your mind, then it's okay to, you know, take time and to recalibrate. So, but in that moment, like, if I were to go back in time, like, it gave me a lot of anxiety, right? Because it's like you build yourself up, and then it's almost like I feel like it's probably similar to, like, actors in Hollywood, where, like, they have, like, a great movie and then they don't work for a year and a half. And then people are like, where's this person at? What's going on here? right? And it's like, I think that there's a lot of anxiety with that. So yeah, I would say it's okay to just take time and to rethink.
So talking more about today, and like just generally, when like outside of big moments, how do you deal with daily stress?
So it's funny that we're doing this podcast in this moment in time, because I have gone, and I haven't publicly said this yet, but I've gone on this journey the last 3.5 months where it is a health / spiritual journey. And I won't get too woo-woo on you, but I needed to change. And that meant like the way that I looked at like my health and my hobbies and my relationships. And what's interesting is that I do a lot of like research where like I read a lot, I'll go on YouTube, you know, I follow people, I have friends that are, you know, really into health and stuff. And I realized that for me, one thing I struggle with is like, I definitely like my mind goes in other areas all the time and it's hard for me to focus, but also my anxiety levels were increasing. And I realized that for me, one of the root causes of all of that is just me kind of being overstimulated and consistently thinking. So when I deal with my daily stress, it's really around like meditation has really helped. And I have had so many people in my life tell me, you need to meditate. And I'm just like, no, like, no, it's not happening. And I just one day, January 1st, I'm telling you, January 1st, I sat down, I closed my eyes, and I put on this like meditation, like binaural beats type music on this app that I have. And my mind was thinking about 15 different things. I kept asking myself, am I meditating? Am I not meditating? And then when the 5 minutes were up, I was like, wow, like I feel like good. And that's one way that I deal with daily stress. Obviously, like I said, exercise. Another thing that I feel like as well is like that I'm trying to get better with is just like not being on my phone or my laptop when I do feel stressed, where I can just like kind of like just detox from that. And also like nature. So like one thing that's really interesting is that I went on a hike a couple weeks ago and it was a 3-hour hike, no cell phone service, in nature. And I was with my co-founder and his brother-in-law, and we had conversations for 3 hours about life, and it was like one of the best experiences I had in a very long time.
It's funny how as a civilization has become so hard for us to not do what we create.
It's so weird. It's the weirdest thing.
It drives me nuts.
It's like moderation, I guess. It's so weird. I never really thought of it like that.
Like we've created tools we can't not use.
I know.
It's like, beautiful.
I know. Why are we doing that? It's crazy.
Like we've enslaved ourselves.
Exactly.
What about bigger stresses? Like not from like today with all the knowledge you have. Bigger stresses.
Yeah, I would say like, I mean, like I think it's one thing that I deal when I have like things that are like really high stressed for me is like, you know, my family and my friends. I think relationships is something that's really interesting. For me, like talking things through and out loud and in conversation is something that really helps me. So like, I feel like, you know, for your listeners, if there is big stresses in people's lives, is to have a support group, whether that's your family, your friends, whoever it is, being able to like talk through things and get their feedback. And there's a really, really, really lot of good positive benefits around like talk therapy basically, and just like talking in general and having that support network that you trust. So when I have these large stresses in my life, I usually call people that are, you know, the closest to me. So
you mentioned meditation. What kind of meditation do you do?
I think there's like different forms of meditation. Even when I run, there's a meditative state to that. For me, it's really about just closing my eyes and just shutting down the mind. And what that means is, and people have told me this for years, Brendan, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm like, no, I don't even understand what you're saying. For me, the Binaural Beats app has allowed me to just like kind of, I think it's like a, not a placebo effect, but gets me into the mood of like being in that mindset of like, okay, you have to shut down now. I just literally just like close my eyes and I tell myself this is going to be 10 minutes. You're going to focus on your breathing and you're just going to think about whatever comes into your mind. And like when you have a thought, you put that, think about being like you know, watching a river and a downstream of a river, and each thought is like a lily pad, and it's just going down the river, down the river. And yeah, and then when you're grounded and when you come out of it, for me, I feel like, A, I feel accomplished, like I got the win, where I'm like, yes, I did another meditation, like another rep. And I do feel better. So, and I think like one thing that I realized too in my journey the last couple of months is that anybody can get motivated in life. You can go watch David Goggins videos or whoever and get super motivated on the internet. You can get absurdly motivated, but the hardest thing is being disciplined. And if you can be disciplined, I think you can be very deadly in this life. And for me, meditation is something that is like, makes me so uncomfortable. But I do know that if I am disciplined about it and I do meditate, then eventually it's just going to get better and better and better.
I love that. Like, I really love that. It's just discipline and motivation. I think it's just so hard to even put it in words, because it's just so inherent to think of them synonymous, but they aren't even close. They're two different edges of the universe.
People lack discipline.
Yeah.
I think people, like, they're just... But discipline is hard to acquire. And I think if you're disciplined, you're such a superpower. It's such a massive weapon in your war chest. And like another thing I do as well is like, since I love talking, I like journaling. I hate writing. So like writing is the worst thing for me. But on the iPhone, they have a journal app. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't know.
But you can talk. So it's like talk journaling. And someone like me that loves to talk, I'll like go for a walk and I'll just like start talking about like whatever is on my mind. And like, do I see any effects from it? To be honest with you, not really, but I feel good that I at least did it.
It's talk therapy.
Yeah, I think I just really work well with that. But I think journaling is something that like, I haven't really found much success with it because I don't think I've given it enough time, but the talk journaling is very interesting. So that's another way that I kind of deal with it, with stress as well, is just talking it through.
Moving to the final part of the podcast, the rapid fire round.
Let's do it.
Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
MacBook or Windows?
MacBook.
One piece of advice that you got early on that was absolutely absurd.
In a good way or a bad way?
Bad way.
Someone's coming to save you.
Now in a good way.
Enjoy the journey.
One piece of advice you would give anyone if you did not know anything about them.
You're worth it.
One thing you wish people shed more often.
Their feelings.
One piece of knowledge that people just throw around for no reason, but they still just throw it around.
Right? Love at first sight.
What would you replace it with?
Getting to know someone over time is probably a better route.
Your favorite movie?
Probably Rudy.
Your favorite artist?
Probably Picasso.
Your favorite song?
Return of the Mac.
Thank you so much for being here. This was amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You just heard an episode on the Detox Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, whether it is Spotify or iTunes. We are there.